Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We're going to be talking about the four blood moons. The reason why is the third blood moon is about to come up. And when you look at what's been taking place, and we've been talking about even our previous program, that things are unfolding in the next 30 or 60 days, fundamental transformation may take place if we don't wake up and turn to the Lord in the context of this. But recently, you know, John Paul Jackson has gone to be with the Lord. Now, John Paul Jackson, obviously a Christian, a prophetic man, and he had streams ministry, and he's the one that the Lord began to unfold and show these headlines to that we've talked about before. I don't know if you can see prophetic headlines before me right now, but he's talking about all these different headlines that the Lord had shown him. And one of those, several of those things have already come to pass. Some are presently coming to pass, and some looks like they're about to come to pass. But he has gone to be with the Lord. But right prior to that, you know, he would show up on Joni's show, which I believe is one of the Christian television network programs there. And he would give interpretations of dreams and kind of help people out. But I want you to hear this interpretation of the dream. And we're going to show you what happened with the mayor of Jerusalem and how it's coming to pass all around the world, even as we speak. And as we always say, you know, VFN TV, we stand up for God and country in that order and Israel. We are friends with Israel, we stand with Israel, and we pray for Israel, and we consider the our Jewish brothers our brothers and sisters. And I want you to see this word that was given. First the dream, and then he's going to give the interpretation. I'll be back. Watch this.
Cindy, this is a dream from Aaron. Said, I wanted to ask about a dream I had about 3 months ago. I was in an empty parking lot, no cars. All of a sudden, there were clouds forming and lightning striking all over, and the clouds rolled. They rolled in very low, so low they touched the ground and trees. Immediately, I knew it was the Lord. There was a tent-like structure where people put their shopping carts in the parking lot. I went under it, and lightning struck the tent, and the whole tent structure was on fire but not consumed. I stayed in the middle of it. I slowly turned around, and I knew the Lord was right there, but I couldn't see him. He then began to write with his hand and fire. Mm. I saw him carving an image, and to my shock, it was a swastika.
Mm-hmm.
I'm unsure whether it was clockwise or counterclockwise. After that, I bowed down to him, and I said, the Holy Spirit is in me. And I went inside the mall to get my brother. But when we got back outside, the Lord was gone. We looked up, and there were so many stars out, we just said, wow. Then in the same dream, I also saw a vision of Iran's leader walking into the temple in Jerusalem, and I also saw Hitler and other evil people throughout history.
Yeah, the dream basically says this, that, Aaron, is that anti-Semitism is going to begin to grow. And it's set on fire that way. I mean, the course of nature, what is going on in the heart of men is set on fire that way. The storm clouds represent that God is going to bring storms on the earth that are going to be coming. And it's spiritual storms, natural storms, both of those. You going into the burning tent and the lightning hits it, or the tent that the lightning hits and it starts burning is kind of like the evidence of the burning bush. It's not something to be afraid of, but it is the fire of God. Jesus would come and he would baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And so we need to understand that what you saw in that dream, or you should understand that what you saw in that dream is the Holy Spirit and fire that's going to come not only upon you, but upon a number of people. The tent represents more than just an individual, but represents a group of people that is going to come upon. And you're going to be able to see what the enemy has planned. And so what you saw in the other part of the dream with the leader of Iran and the Hitler coming in was simply meaning these are the type of abominable things that are going to begin to enter into the culture. And the people in that tent are going to be required to do something, say something, write something, do something about it. Moses saw the burning bush, and God says, you got to become a leader and change all this. So it probably is a call to leadership that you may not be too willing to do right now, but it is a call of God upon your life and upon others.
So you're looking at, I mean, this is you know, John Paul just went to go be with the Lord, and we just celebrate, you know, his homecoming of the Lord, and just pray for those that his family and those that have been blessed by his ministry. A lot of people have, but a lot of people have labored with him. But this interpretation of the dream is taking place, and we're watching the persecution of Jews, you know, in the world. We watched it take place at France. Remember when you know, 4 million people came in the streets after they went to the kosher store and killed the Jews that were there after killing Free Press members. But our president said, called it random violence. When Christians were being beheaded, Egyptian Christians being beheaded on the shores of Tripoli, our Christians called them Egyptian citizens. And it's like Christians and Jews are being persecuted. As a matter of fact, I want you to see right here in Jerusalem, the mayor near Barquette, and how when he saw a terrorist attack taking place on one of the Jewish citizens in Jerusalem, he slammed on brakes, his driver did. He and his bodyguard went out and stopped this assault. As a matter of fact, take a look at this.
Jerusalem's mayor, Nir Barkat, helped subdue a terrorist Sunday night after the terrorist stabbed a religious Jew. The entire episode was caught on security camera. Here, the terrorist is seen stabbing his victim, who strikes back with a bag. Barkat was driving by at the time. The mayor, who was wearing a white shirt, and his security guard jumped out of the car and tackled the terrorist, who dropped his knife when the guard drew his gun. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu told CBN News Barkat displayed true bravery.
I thought the mayor showed exemplary courage. He and his bodyguard assaulted the terrorists, prevented more injuries. Societies terrorized by terror need to show a different kind of courage. They need the courage of governments who will fight terrorism and not knuckle under it. But they also need the courage of individuals to fight terrorism whenever that is required, and I think we saw an example of that yesterday.
This is the latest in a series of lone wolf terror attacks against Jews, mostly in Jerusalem, but also in other areas.
This is what it's going to take, and when the majority of folks are good folks, you know, the majority of people, you're just trying to do your job, you're trying to take care of your family, you know, and you have a few fringe elements that are spreading out, and because of media, they have the ability to talk and to say things, but we find out that they just started just saying it. Well, when you stand up like this mayor did and this driver did, they stop that person from being stabbed to death, the Jewish man, just because he's Jewish. That's called anti-Semitism, just so you hear those words, which is racism. It's hating someone just because of their race. And so when you hear people, you know, talk about, you know, that's racism, this is racism, it's like the root of all racism, according to Chuck Pierce out of, you know, Corinth, Texas, as the Lord revealed to him, was it's anti-Semitism. So we'll never be able to deal completely and fully with racism, things that divide us based on race, if we don't repent for being racist towards Jews. And so you have to, you know, understand that's the apple of God's eye. That's the Lord, what the Lord has established Israel. And those who bless Israel, who are blessed, you cannot be anti-Semite, or you cannot be racist towards the Jews and think God's going to bless you or think you're ever going to resolve everything. As a matter of fact, in the very last days, God's going to gather all the people of the world, all the nations, and he's going to judge us. And he's going to judge us in the Valley of Jehoshaphat, the Valley of Decision, based on what we did with Israel, what we did with the land. That's what he says. That's how important this is. So if you want to be found on the right side of history, I encourage you, join with VFN TV, become a partner, join our sponsors, and say, you know what, I'm going to be bold. I'm going to stand up for Israel. I'm going to stand up for God. I'm going to stand up for the original tenet of this nation, because this is happening, and it's increasing, and according to our last program, if you didn't see it, you got to see it, it's going to spread all across all 50 states, and it's going to be rampant in the Southwest area. When we get back from this break, we're going to talk about the four blood moons. Why? Because in a few days, the third of the four blood moons is happening, and everything's crescendoing at that moment. And this is that 30 to 60 days the Lord is telling us that difficult, difficult times are coming to our nation.
We are going to be going right into the four blood moons. Mm. And when you are wondering why we're going to talk about them, because we're right in the center of this. And I'm just so grateful that John's going to just fill us in about where we are right now. and the four blood moons.
You know, it's so important that we look at context and what's happening. If you've been watching VFN TV, you know that we've been sharing and discussing about some very important dates that are right upon us. March the 3rd, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is coming to speak to the joint session of Congress, which is you, the American people. It's us. Very important meeting, because right on the heels of that, there's going to be an election. And what he's going to be talking about
in Israel.
And what he's going to be talking about is the real threat that Iran, you know, possesses towards Israel first and of course, to America second. And this is important because at the end of March, there's a nuclear deal that they're trying to close really rapidly with Iran in terms of their
nuclear uranium
enrichment. And that's important because reports are that they were trying to hold this back for 20 years.
Right.
Now they're seems like they're making some concessions with Iran.
Fucking legacy.
Yeah,
and all
10 years
like,
and all this stuff is like, this is serious.
Yes.
This is serious. And
yes.
And we may be able to show you some other clips. It's going to be interesting to see the development of how this thing has progressed.
You know, Mayor Giuliani just said yesterday that Iran has killed more Christians than any other nation.
Wow.
I didn't know that. But Mayor Giuliani of New York, former mayor, and I thought, wow. And now we're wanting to give them nuclear. So if you killed more, if your nation, according to Mayor Giuliani just yesterday, he said that that Iran has killed more Christians than any other nation. And we want to give them nuclear capabilities. What is that going to mean to you as a Christian? Mm. What is that going to mean to Israel a couple of miles away?
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, if it sounds like a duck, quacks like a duck.
Hello?
It's a dog. No, it's a duck. It's just a duck. I'm sorry. But yeah, he just talked about it.
Well, you think about Iran right now and the type of influence reportedly that they have in Yemen and Libya and all these other different areas with the Houthis. It's like, listen, this is without a nuclear weapon.
We just turned over our weapons to the Houthis.
Yes. Yes.
And that's the Iranian militant arm over
in Yemen.
In Yemen.
Yeah.
He took our guns of our Marines at the orders of Secretary of State John Kerry, allegedly, to turn them over to them, to Iran.
Mm.
They're celebrating. They were dancing in the streets.
Yeah,
remember, we had
absolutely.
That on. They were dancing saying, we defeated America.
And death to America.
And they said, you're the one that armed ISIS. And the reporter says, ABC News, she goes, that's right, we did arm them.
Mm.
I'm sorry, but yeah, now we're nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
I mean, this is serious time. It's four blood moons.
It is serious. And so right after this deal that the prime minister is going to warn America and the nations of the world. Listen, you know, right on the heels of that, you have the third of the four blood moons, which is coming April the 4th, 2015. And so all these dates are important. I know, Greg, that you shared here in our previous program that we believe that March and April is going to be some very serious strategic timing, and we want to be prepared.
Heaven and earth colliding, even Chuck Pierce even talks about that, the shifting, getting your footing. Pastor out of Jerusalem said that America is going to have serious homeland security. Jay Johnson's talking about, you know, mall terrorists and, you know, Kamal Saleem talking about 450,000. I mean, this is that moment. You know, this is that moment. And now of all the things that be happening, the third blood moon.
Right. We're going to be hearing from John Hagee as he's shared this message and has written a book. And now there's a movie that should be released any day now. Any day there'll be a movie about the four blood moons, and this is so important because these are some strategic dates that NASA has predicted that actually line up with the Jewish calendar. And I want you to hear from John Hagee as he begins to share a little bit about these dates and how they're going to unfold and what does that mean. Watch this.
Passover is established in the Bible. NASA is saying there are going to be four blood moons with an eclipse sun that will happen in sequential order on Passover, April 15th, 2014, Sukkot, which is October 8th, 2014, Nisan, which is April. Actually, the date is going to be 3/20/15. This is the day, by the way, that the children of Israel will turn loose or were liberated from Egypt's bondage, and then Passover, April the 4th, 2015, Sukkot, September 28, 2015. Now, are you going to step out on your back porch and see these? No. But all of these will be seen collectively around the world.
This is so important because Joel talks about how, the book of Joel chapter 2, how there'll be signs and wonders in the heavens above.
They're created for signs. You think the sun was created for heat, right? Mm. But actually says it was created for signs. Yeah. The moon was created for signs. We think for light. And it's like, no, it's created for science.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we actually shared about how NASA just produced a breathtaking video, just totally amazing, of the sun. It's amazing. And so we got to just look at it and say, okay, God, what are you saying? What do you want to share with us? And, you know, it's important that this was being shared prior to the blood moons actually starting. Yes, they have the first two came. We saw them. It's been documented, and the third one is absolutely coming. But one of the things that you really want God's trying to communicate here, and what John Hagee shares, I think is really important, is he says that this is a sign to this generation. How many signs, really, how many signs has God made known to so many people throughout history, throughout time, giving us plenty of warning to respond and to make the necessary changes that we need to make?
Stop signs. Everybody doesn't stop at them.
No.
Yield signs. Everybody doesn't yield. And just because these signs come, everybody so often thinks it's just an automatic thing. It's like, no, we're supposed to do something during
yes.
that time.
Yes.
You know, that the sign about planting, a farmer knows it's time to plant seed.
Mm-hmm.
You don't go, oh, it's time to plant seed, but you don't plant seed. If you're going to have a harvest and that season hits and that sign hits, when the moon's in the right place, that's when you plant. It's like, if we have to cooperate with God. You know, and it's something that he's expecting from us. But
yeah, I want you to watch John Hagee as he begins to share about what NASA is reporting and how this is going to change the world, world history forever. Watch this.
Traditionally in Judaism, a moon is a signal to Israel. A sun is a signal to the world. In this presentation by Joel, chapter 2, this is a message to the world and to Israel.
So even to the world and even to Israel.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so this has happened, four blood moons, I believe they call it a tetrarch. This has happened over the last 300 years with specific things happening, 1492, 1948, and in 1967, and there's a common denominator when we have these four blood moons. I want you to watch as Dr. Hagee, John Hagee, Pastor John Hagee begins to share what happened in 1492. You may be familiar with Christopher Columbus sailing the ocean blue, but there's some other things that happened that you may not be aware about. I didn't know until I just learned about it, and it's going to be very interesting as you understand that this is a warning to the world. This is a warning to Israel, and we need to pay attention.
Yes.
We need to make appropriate actions.
Father's
right
talking
with God.
To us.
Yes. Listen up and watch this.
NASA is now saying this is going to happen starting in April 2014. God has made it very clear that at some point in the future, he's going to cause the moon to turn to blood and the sun not to give its light. This is God's signal to this terminal generation that something is big and it's going to happen soon. And that something is going to change world history forever.
I'm going to share with you next is what's happening between 1492. And we talked about, you know, most people know about Christopher Columbus and the sailing the ocean blue and discovering America. But something happened prior to Christopher Columbus discovering America and the significance that America has right from the very beginning. I want you to watch as John Hagee begins to break this down a little bit more for us as we pay attention to what he has to say. Watch this.
Now, here's the 1492 most of you know about. It was when the Jewish people were kicked out of Spain that they took their maps and money and gave them to an Italian Jew named Christopher Columbus and said, find us a place to live. And he found a place that eventually became the United States of America, which has become home to the Jewish people and all people who are oppressed by tyrants and religious dictators on the face of the earth. And God bless America for what we have become to bless the people of the world.
I want you to have that image up of the Jews that were actually being expelled in 1492 from Spain. Hmm. I mean, King Ferdinand and Queen Isabel actually kicked out the Jews because they wouldn't convert. They had 14 days to make that decision, and as a result...
Out of Spain.
Out of Spain. As a result, the Jews gave Christopher Columbus some money so that he can go discover...
Find us a place
to
live.
Find us a place!
You actually, if you're moving to a city, like... Hey, can you go find me a place? Because I'm not from around there. They literally get that's what Christopher was actually carrying money from the Jews to be able to find a place for the Jews to live.
And it was America.
And everybody thought it was about them.
Imagine that.
It's about God.
They took Spain took their money. Many of them were murdered.
They were trying to force them. They thought that they should force them to convert to Christianity, not understanding. You know, the plan of God.
It's not a forced decision.
No, it's not a forced decision. It's a choice, and it's also there's a reason what God is doing and His timing.
Okay, so that was the first series of the Four Blood Moons. I want you to listen to what happened in 1948 when there was a second series of Four Blood Moons. Right.
So
now,
a blood moon was going on. Four Blood Moons that first time when that transition was taking place. So I think it's really important to think about this. I don't want to interrupt you too much, but. That it looked chaotic. It looked hopeless. They're throwing us out of our country. We're having to give money to Christopher. We don't know who he is. He's going to go to Columbus is going to sell the ocean blue. But it began with tears, but it ended with blessing. It ended with finding and discovering America. So that's what you're talking. These are blood moons. So this is another four blood moons.
Right. These are the common denominators. Yes. Tears and then it ends up with blessings. And it's always pointed towards Israel. I want you to listen to what happened in 1948 when the second series of the four blood moons. Watch this.
The second time the four blood moons were reported by NASA is 1948. How many of you know what happened in 1948? About half. We're getting better. It's the year that Israel was reborn. The mighty right hand of God gathered the Jewish people that had been scattered across the earth, the Jews of the diaspora, and brought them back to Israel, just as the Old Testament prophets had predicted that God would. No greater miracle in human history ever happened than on May the 14th, 1948, when David Ben-Gurion rushed down Rothschild Boulevard in Tel Aviv and stopped in front of the Tel Aviv Art Museum. Inside that museum were 400 people assembled in the auditorium, anxiously awaiting his arrival. Ben-Gurion quickly bounded up the steps, and precisely at 4 o'clock, he stepped to the podium and read the words that gave birth to the modern state of Israel. 11 minutes later, Harry Truman recognized the state of Israel, and world history was made. The Jewish people were officially home, and home forever. God lit up the heavens with four blood moons.
11 minutes later, 11 minutes later, America, which was discovered with the financing of the Jewish people who were being thrown out in the last four blood moons.
Yes.
It's like every time these blood moons happen, there's a transition happening with Israel.
Yeah.
Because that first transition we talked about was where the money was given to be able to discover America. This next one is where Israel's becoming a nation. And America, who was partially, you know, the Jews financed the finding of America and establishing of it. And even the American Revolution War.
Haim Salomon gave George Washington money to help him with his army. They had no funds. George Washington needed resources, and Haim Salomon gave him money. And to commemorate that, if you look at the back of your dollar bill, you'll see the Star of David in stars.
Yeah, and so 11 minutes after Ben-Gurion met with them, Harry Truman signed and said, the
full backing of the United States
is behind the signature, signing them becoming a nation. Understand and think about this. There's no need for America outside what it's doing for Israel. If we turn our backs on God and turn our backs on Israel, you won't even see America. What are they trying to do right now? They're trying our leader, our president, his assistant, Valerie Jarrett, who's trying to bring Islam. Islam does not appreciate Israel. Radical Islam wants to push them in the sea. The Quran says all the Jews will be destroyed, and it'll be up to a point where a rock says, come look up under me. There's a Jew here. You can kill him. This is what it's like. This right now, they're trying – this whole thing, this push to get Islam in America is to push to get God out and do away with Israel. We've got to stand up. If we stand up, I know we need to go to a break, but if we stand up, we've got more about the four blood moons, but this is about to happen. We're right in the middle of this. This is not a history lesson.
That's right.
This is to help us understand now, because we're about to hit a third of the four blood moons in just a moment. It's interesting that the president said that Israel needs to go back to the 1967 borders, which is undoing of the four blood moons. It's taking Jerusalem off as the platform for the Democratic platform.
Mm-hmm.
It's saying to undo the four blood moons.
Yeah.
It's undefensible borders. And to see the United Arab League of Nations was 22 now, I think, mm-hmm. something like that, nations turned over to Putin. The president just turned them over to Putin when they came to America. He said, we'll just let Putin handle this thing. And it's like you're looking at potentially this huge land grab that, you know, Pastor John Kilpatrick talked about. And we had that on here. You can find the VFN Torch. You're looking at potentially 7 months and 7 years, 7 months to bury the bodies and 7 years to burn their weapons. Because when they try to attack Israel, God's going to defend Israel and show himself mighty. The question is, you know, where are you in all this?
Right.
Are you watching it like watching television, or are you going, I want to be right before God? You know, when the trains were coming by, filled with Jews going to the concentration camps, and the church heard the screaming and the hollering coming out of the train, but they were so packed like sardines in there, even worse than that. They said, turn the music up. They said, turn the music up. And right now the question is, are you turning your life up where you don't pay attention to this? Are you turning up all the noise? Are you getting busy watching Netflix and movies and entertainment and distractions and vacations and cruises and all this kind of stuff? Why are you saying turn the music up in your life when this stuff is building right before you? You're in the middle. Our president basically said, the people who selected him, according to his pastor, is probably saying as well, Pastor Jeremiah Wright, is that he's saying, I want to do away what God did in 1967. I don't like it, and I want it to go away. And if you can see this on the torch, that when Israel had to go to war in 1967 because they were being attacked, and they took up, I believe, most of Egypt, most of Jordan, they could have had all of it.
Yeah.
They gave it all back, and they just took the land that they could have, that they could defend, called defensible borders.
Going and suggesting that Israel should give back, go back to 1967 lines, is literally poking at Israel, poking at the center of God's eye, because Israel is the apple of God's eye.
You know, that Chuck Pierce said, he said that the moment the president made that declaration, that America is going to go back to the 60s. All the turmoil that America had in the 60s, and guess what? You're about to see all that again.
Yeah, and we really start to see some of it already
in
Ferguson and different parts of the nation.
Yes.
We start to see some of these race riots that
it's racist to say to go back to 1967 lines, because you're going against a race called the Jewish race. It's anti-Semitic to do it. And if it's undefensible, it means we want you pushed in the sea. We want you destroyed. We want you to get off of our land.
Right.
And it's not their land. It's God's land. And he gave it to Israel, and it's been there for thousands of years. And so Chuck Pierce said, of Corinth, Texas, of
Glory Design Ministry.
Glory Design Ministries. As soon as that was said, that America is going to go back to the 1960s. And let me tell you something. The 60s were horrific. You had John F. Kennedy, the assassination of John F. Kennedy. You had the riots. We had Vietnam War. We had the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. You had the assassination of Senator Robert Kennedy. I mean, it was horrific. That was the years that the roots of abortion began to happen, and divorce, and just everything started breaking apart.
Sexual revolution.
Everything started breaking apart in America. And it's like, that's where, when that statement was made. But he says, if we see this, and if we see what's going on, and we humble ourselves and repent and turn from our wicked ways, and that's what God wants.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to stand up for Israel while you're doing it.
Right.
I know you have another.
I want to go to clip 8, because there's a common denominator in all of these four blood moons, the series we talked about in 1492 and 1948 and 1967, and also right now, the four blood moons that we're right in the middle of. The third of the fourth blood moon is going to occur April the 4th, 2015. Real important that you pay attention and understand what's happening, because these next 60 days are absolutely important and you want to be prepared. Look at the common denominator and what happens always to Israel during this time period. Watch this.
What are the common denominators in 1492, 1948, and 1967. They all center around Israel and the Jewish people. The Jewish people are still the apple of God's eye. Two, all of these series of blood moons begin with tears and then end with unspeakable triumph. In 1492, the Jewish people were killed by the Roman church. Their properties were taken. Many of them gave their children to Protestants to raise them because they knew they were going to die trying to escape. That's tears. But then America was discovered and they had a home that they could live in with peace and prosperity and security. That's triumph. 1948, the Jewish people had just endured the living horror of the Holocaust. In 7 years, 6 million Jews were systematically slaughtered by Hitler's Nazis. It was an unspeakable valley of tears. Then came the rebirth of Israel, the dream of Zion, the hope from the God of all hope, triumph, tears and triumph. The Old Testament prophets clearly state that when the Jewish people return from their second exile in 1948, they will never be removed from the land again. I am simply saying, the Iranians, the Russians, the Arab uprising, it's not going to remove Israel. God Almighty is going to defend Israel himself.
And that's important to know. This is not about being fearful. It's understanding that, listen, God is going to defend Israel no matter what, but it's for us to play our part. What are we going to do?
What's going to happen to us.
Yes.
It's like, this is our chance to get on God's side.
Yeah.
Because nothing, they're going to be taken care of.
Absolutely. We want to jump right into this last clip before we discuss more about what's going to be happening in this third of the fourth blood moons. But understand that right in the middle of the four blood moons on March the 20th, which comes on the heels of the Israeli election, March the 17th, there's going to be a lunar eclipse. And according to Judaism, there is these have significant impacts according to, you know, judgment and what's going to be happening to the nations that actually come against Israel. I want you to watch John Higgins. He explains this. He gives a little bit more detail so we can have a better understanding of really what's going to happen. Although we know in our heart and the Bible tells us, I want you to watch this.
Consider the dates of the four moon eclipse. They're packed with meaning. On April the 15th, 2014, the first day of Passover, 15 Nisan is the day that the Jewish people were delivered from Egypt's bondage and started for the promised land. October the 8th, 2014 is the eve of Sukkot, and in Judaism it represents God's protection over the Jewish nation in the desert, according to rabbinical scholar Moshe Pinchuk of Israel. Rabbinical scholars state that when the sun is eclipsed, like this picture, it means the judgment of God is coming to nations. When the moon is eclipsed, it is a sign of God's judgment on the enemies of Israel. When the sun is eclipsed in the center of four blood moons, as is this chart, it is the warning to the whole world that something devastating is going to happen.
It's a sign that something devastating is going to happen. Man, we've got to be prepared for this.
Judgment to the nations, the enemies of Israel.
We got to be prepared for this. Understand that the leaders of this nation has set itself against God, against Israel. We showed you just a couple days ago where they wanted to remove Jerusalem. They wanted to undo 1967's four blood moons.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to be able to do that. They're just coming against God. And you're watching 320 million Americans basically just be seduced with power and money and stuff and things and entertainment. And it's like, while this whole thing is being stirred up.
Mm.
And if you caught our earlier program, of course, you know what, you know, God has shown several folks, but Rick Joyner was talking about God showing that, you know, America's going to awake and it's not going to be a pretty sight. People are going to be really upset about this. They're going to see where that this whole thing, but, you know, chaos is a good thing for Satan.
Yeah.
But there is a way to have order and to be, you know, God's a God of order. And when things start getting kind of, you know, whatever, it's time to be prudent about how you prepare. This is what the Word of God says. You know, Proverbs says, you know, a prudent man sees danger. I mean, there's nothing else that we can show. We've shown them this is it. This is it. This is a crescendo chorus of prophetic prophecies coming. A prudent man sees this and prepares for it, but a fool keeps going and suffers for it. It's time to prepare. And when you think about preparation, how would you prepare? First is, don't be an Achan. Don't have God's things buried in your tent. Understand that you need to start honoring God with his first fruits. If you're not a believer, God loves you. He's orchestrating this whole thing for you to be able to come in and make him the Lord of your life. We shared our testimonies at meetmyfather.org. You can find out how we met him and made Jesus Christ the Lord of our life. If you once walked with God, but you've turned your back on him, you might be religious, but you turned your back on him, God is talking to you. Read Job 33. God is talking to you again and again. The question is, will you respond? Will you repent? Will you turn to him? Will you stand up for him? Will you walk with him? Or will you be ashamed of him? That's what it's boiling down to. And Israel's like a measuring stick. It lets us know where we are in God. Because when you stand up for Israel, Satan doesn't stand up for you. Mm. And his servants do not stand up for you. And those who don't want anything to do with God doesn't stand up for you. But Jesus said that a student will be treated no differently than its teacher. Mm-hmm. So if this is how they treated Jesus, if this is how they treated the disciples, that's how potentially we're going to be treated. It's just we've been blessed for so long. But I really believe this. I believe there's a lot of folks. If you read Revelation, the letters written to the church, there's a lot of people that are lukewarm, which is an oxymoron because you either are or you're not. And there are people that left their first love. There's people that's taken on the ways of the world, like, people who call themselves prophets, but they're really speaking their own wisdom, their own ways. I mean, he says in Church of Thyatira, that's those that are following Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and that she has children. And so these are people, this is all in the church. These are letters written to the church. So somebody told you just because you're on the roll somewhere in some church, it means you're on the rolls in heaven is not true. You have to be right before God. You're going to answer alone before God, no witnesses or no suspects. You can't bring people before the throne of God and start saying, I blame that person, I blame this person, I blame that person. God's going to say, for what? For your sin? You can only repent for what you acknowledge in your own life. If you're blaming someone for your sin, and that's what's happened. One of the darkest things I think that happened in the 60s that's come about is finding somebody else to blame, some genealogy thing. Blame somebody for your stuff when God's going to hold you accountable for the decisions you made in your own life. He's not going to hold you accountable for 10 generations back or 10 generations forward. What are you going to do with this God? And then, and there's no witnesses in regards to somebody, come tell God, this is my life was so hard and, people treated me so bad. I mean, that's unrealistic. That's an earthly argument that's been sold the church a bill of goods. You stand alone before God, all by yourself, to answer for your life. And the solution is Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, repentance. Making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, going, I can't do this thing. There's no way. I see it, God. I have sinned. I had fallen short. Everything that I did that I thought was right was nothing but filth. It's just none of it's righteous. But I'm going to make you, Jesus, the Lord of my life. I want you, Lord, in my life. Forgive me for my sins. Forgive me where I went wrong. Forgive me for ignoring Israel and not even paying attention to Israel. Forgive me for not even picking up the Bible. Forgive me for not fellowshipping with the body of Christ. Forgive me, Lord, for being greedy and hoarding what's yours and robbing from you, as talked about in Malachi chapter 3. Dear Lord, I want to give my life fully over to you. This is time. Listen, you got to get serious, because the enemy would love to take you out before you make this decision for Christ, because then he would say, I got me one. But you know what? No matter what happens to you, when you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, to be absent from this body is to be present with God. You'd be instantly with the Lord in eternal life forever. No more tears, no more sickness, no more disease. I'm telling you, make that decision today. I want to pray with you right now. Father God, we thank you for your voice. We thank you for letting us know what has taken place. Father God, right now, you said you don't do anything unless you reveal it through your prophets first, Lord. And we are hearing a chorus of words from you saying, it's coming. The nations are gathering against Israel, but what about you? what are you going to do? God, we pray that America will stand with Israel. God, we pray that the church would wake up. God, we pray for those that are listening will get so involved, Lord, that they would rise up to this occasion, Lord. We just pray for visions. We pray for dreams. We pray for preparation, Father God. And we bless those who are partnering and standing with us, Father God, and those businesses, God, continue to shine your lights on them, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.